you, God. Oh, awesome. Hi, everyone. My hair's lighter. Praise him. I guess we can throw that up there. This book is called Tony Talks in Tongues, and it's a children's book about speaking in tongues and the move of the Holy Ghost. And because, you know, when adults come in the prayer line, they have this amazing experience, and you give them Brother Hagin's book, Why Tongues? And we saw kids coming in with no doctrine to leave with. And so that's what this book is right here. That's Tony. Is he amazing? And your pastor was so awesome because I just started to put together, was going to print at Kinko's, and I thought, I need a banana. And so Miss Amanda, you want to stand up? Miss Amanda, she helps us do the Queen's Wave. Praise the Lord. And then St. Kyle, he's here as well. Go ahead and stand up and do the Queen's Wave. Well, more of a mask and King's Wave. Yeah, do that. And so they're so such a blessing. They've helped us, and they've just been such a, it's such an honor to know them. But I asked Amanda's sister, who draws, if she could draw me a banana. So she drew me this banana that wears like little Pinocchio shoes and a little baseball hat, and it was so sweet. And I thought, that's not my banana. And so then I thought, maybe I'll just have to draw a banana. God help me. And one time I was leading corporate prayer, and I started praying out the word banana. And people are like, we heard you pray banana. And so I kept trying to change it while I was praying. I'm like, banana. Oh, banana, now I know God is real. And it didn't work. So I just drew my own banana, and there he is. That's Tony. And then it's made for the most amazing conversation. So then I was in Tulsa, and I saw your pastor and his blessed wife and dumped garlic all over their stuff. It's another story. But anyway, so I showed him my picture of Tony, and then I showed him the picture of the sweet banana that Miss Amanda's sister so graciously drew for us. And your pastor goes, that's not your banana. This is your banana right here. He started prophesying about my banana. It was very interesting. Hallelujah. And so, with that, again, there's a ton of doctrine in here, and it's the Lord has really helped me. This page right here says, sometimes when you are praying and those silly sounds from above, pictures and thoughts will bubble up, things you didn't think of. You'll see different people of the world. You'll see yourself healed. You'll see what you'll be when you'll grow up. Many things will be revealed. You will pray out little sounds, but normal words will pop out too. Write them down and save the paper. God might tell you what to do. You might pray out the president's name. You might even speak out a color, or maybe the name of a Bible saint, or even the name of your mother. You will speak out words and not know what they mean, and words that just sound funny. I just prayed out the word Sri Lanka. Wow, that's the name of a country. And this is a true story here. So was Sri Lanka. A little girl prayed that out. One time I prayed out kitty. I kept praying, here, kitty, kitty. And I'm like, oh. Even I know you're supposed to preach to all creatures, but I prefer dogs anyway. But anyway, so one time I prayed out kitty. What a silly thing to do. But then a child explained to me, that's not cats, it's kitties you'll minister to like you. Amen. So there's a ton of doctrine in here, and we also believe it's going to get into adults. I don't know what that white thing is on my back. Oh, well, whatever. And so we believe it's going to minister to adults, too, because it's so unassuming, and there's so much doctrine. Amen? And then in the end, there is a confession to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So many people are tarrying and asking, but these are a series of bold confessions that the children do. Stand up like a king, open your cake hole, move your tongue around, and give it some sound. Hallelujah. And step right over. Amen. So we're believing to get it here. The sample book comes tomorrow, but we'll make it known on Facebook. What else? Amen. Whatever else. Hallelujah. So let's go ahead and hit it running. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for this time. We never take it lightly being at this church. Hallelujah. A training church for us. Hallelujah. Where we learn to flow with you, Father. Father, I thank you for this time. I ask, as the Apostle Paul did pray, that you would grant to me utterance. I ask that you would open my mouth to make known the mystery like it ought to be made. known tonight, one of the final mysteries of the church. Hallelujah. Made known tonight as it ought to be made known with all boldness. And Father, I ask that my love would abound still more and more and then extend itself into comprehensive discernment and knowledge, that tonight I can prove your highest and your best. I'd understand the moral differences, Father, being sincere and without offense, approaching the day of Christ, not causing people to stumble and not stumbling myself, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus, that thy glory would be manifested and recognized. I speak as in the presence of the Lord, who tests my heart, expecting it to be approved. Glory to the name. We magnify the name. Hallelujah! Glory! Severe coolness. Awesome. Also, we live in California. We were drop-kicked there by the Lord. And so we look at it as a mission field because we don't even have grocery bags anymore. You go to check out and you have to find someone and beg for a bag. And then they look condescendingly at you. What do you want a bag for? So that's our mission field. Hallelujah. And so we're thankful. Amen. Okay. So this is a subject that... we have three works. We have one in Thousand Oaks, California. That's on the edge of Los Angeles. We have one in Lompoc, and we have one in San Luis Obispo, burgeoning groups, hallelujah. And our group up in San Luis Obispo is a group of people, a lot of more retired veterans. And they've been such a blessing to us. And I ministered on this subject, and they said, we've never even heard to do something like that. And so just to supplement supposedly what Pastor Mark has been sharing on, but this has been bugging me for about... 5 months now. Hallelujah. I have this here. Follow him through the word. And the way we teach that is to pray the Ephesians prayer, Ephesians 1, 17 through 23, before you ever read your Bible. So when you read your Bible, you're following and reading, you're following the Holy Ghost. You give him liberty to lead you through the Bible. Amen. And the Bible's not just a dead book. You do it by faith. And then we say, follow him through prayer. Well, how do you follow him through prayer? You pray the Ephesians prayer again, Ephesians 1, 17 through 23, over yourself before you start praying. When you do that, prayer quits being boring and you're holding on for dear life. Hallelujah. And you actually, I don't know, get stuff. Hallelujah. And prayer becomes fun again. But then I've got this, follow him through fellowship. Let's go ahead and jump right to Acts chapter 4 real quick here. Acts 2:42, I'm sorry. Acts 2:42. Well, let's hold off on that. So I teach, my husband and I predominantly, we teach on the subject of corporate or united prayer. And one time the Lord told me, he said, tell the people what you see corporate or united prayer as. Because I see it as his voice. The Bible says over and over again, or especially in the book of Revelations, that his voice is as the voice of many waters. And on the inside of you, it says there's a river that comes out of you. It says there's a fountain also. So when the saints pray together, the water works start. And such varied waters as well. But when we lift our voice, it becomes the sound of many waters, and it is what makes a way for the coming of the Lord. So let's go ahead and lift our voice real quick here in other tongues. Very loudly and articulately. Ready? Get set. Go. Vesielo pachane. Sesielo torese. Glory. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hard to stop, isn't it? That's what he sounds like. He could never be pictured as just one, just, well, it's one sound. He can only be expressed through the multiple of his saints. He can only be expressed well in the very variations of each and every one of you in your supply. That is the only way the fullness of him could ever be expressed. And so, so that's how I hear his voice. And so, you just be merciful with me getting into this, hallelujah. And so I saw this one movie, and I guess, you know, before mortuaries and all that stuff, Sounds kind of gruesome, but anyway. You know, when a person would die, they would prepare the body at home. So there was this movie. And I guess this woman's husband had passed away. And so the movie opened up and his body was laid out there and they were preparing the body. And she walked up and she just began to touch that body because it was so precious to her. That body that she'd known for so long, you know? Oh, that little mole there, you know, or... How, you know, those precious feet, you know, like with my husband, you know, I love his hair, you know, it's gray right here, you know, and he's always so tan, you know, just, I remember the first time he came to help me with my car, he was all tan, been mowing grass, and I'm like, woo, dude, praise him, I receive. And so, now I know he's a spirit and whatnot, but thank God he's got a body, you know, so. And, you know, we do get a lot of things simultaneously in the spirit, but usually I communicate with his body, you know. His body is precious to me. And the Lord, if you look to your right and your left, just look to your right and just look to your left. This is his body.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh, this is his body. From the front to the back. People are like, oh, if I could have been around when Jesus was walking around. Well, he still is. And just like that woman with the issue of blood, lots of people were around him. But she touched him in a certain way. And she accessed the power that was in that body. And she was never the same. See, when we come together and we esteem the different parts of his body, oh, you get an access to power you could never have alone. And so I say, follow the Holy Ghost through reading your Bible. That's good. Follow the Holy Ghost through prayer. But sometimes at the end of that, then, I'm still hungry for something else. What is it? You'll find the next part of that answer in fellowship. You know how you're reading your Bible and a scripture jumps out and you're like, We have a lady in one of our meetings, and one day I was preaching something. She liked it so much, she went, It's one of the best amens I ever got. You know, you're reading your Bible and a scripture jumps out and you're like, That's good. Fed my spirit. Or life jumped out. Oh! And then you'll be praying at times, you know, and all of a sudden, That was good. What the Lord showed me. Amen. Or life jumped out. But then it's not enough anymore just to read your Bible and pray. You got to be vitally connected in the body. And don't get all freaked out either, because we're all trying to, we're trusting the Lord how to do this thing. And I'm going to give you real simple tools to get that third part of what God's telling you to do out of the body for you. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So now let's go to... Ephesians 1:23. I won't have you turning to a lot of scriptures. Ephesians 1:23 says here, and it just redefines itself, which is his body. Well, you can go look at verse 22. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, comma, which is actually his body. And then also, which is the fullness of him. That starts filling all in and through all. The body is the fullness of him. Now I have this awesome scripture here too. You don't have to turn to it. But Ephesians 4:7 says, but to each one of you, a grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So whether you like it or not, you got a measure of grace inside of you. And it's different from anybody else. And without it, we're lacking. Amen. But yet it goes on to say here, so he gives each of us, each and every one of us, say, I have a grace.
I have a grace.
Whether I feel like it or not.
I got a grace
that's unique, and I got a supply. Okay, then in John 3:34, don't have to turn there. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for he gives him the spirit without measure. So Jesus had the spirit without measure. And each of us have the spirit by measure, but simple math should work here when we come together. Dude, it's his body right here. And it's the fullness of him that if we hook it up right, well, it starts filling all in, and then through all out to the world. Right? I've been watching Teen Mom. That's how they talk. Don't judge me. Anyway, makes me feel better about myself. I'm like, oh, look what they're doing. I'm doing good. Anyway, it's a terrible standard to judge yourself by. But he watches my 600-pound life, and he's like, I'm not as fat as them. I'm like, is that your goal? I'm doing good today. I didn't get cut out of a bedroom. Okay, so this is not good. My husband could be in a dead sleep, but if I open a bag of chips, he'll wake up. That'd be the best alarm clock for him. So when we come together, this thing called the body of Christ is in manifestation. And it has the power, if you hook up right, to give you a supply and a supplement of what you were looking for. Lots of Christians read their Bible. Lots of Christians pray. But they never get vitally linked up or learn this art of fellowship. And because of it, they're just always kind of sorely lacking, never quite fit, never quite in the body, and never quite ever find what they're called to do. Yeah. Now let's go to Acts 2, 42 real quick here. I'm hurrying, Pastor. Acts 2, 42. Is it in my Bible? There it is. Okay. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, which is the word, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Now, what's weird is that when I was studying this, is that that breaking of bread is the communion. You've heard of that, right? Communion. And then fellowship. Fellowship. Both the word communion and fellowship are koinonia. They're the exact same word. So if I don't think you're doing anything wrong in the scriptures and based on Ephesians and that it's about the church and everything, you're not doing anything wrong. They basically continued in the apostles' doctrine, push fellowship and breaking of bread together and in prayer. That means that breaking of bread and fellowship, koinonia, where Christians come together, dude, and fellowship and act in such a way that the Holy Ghost is invited in to give answers to people and connect people and highlight gifts and callings and stuff is 1/3 of your walk with God. And I'm getting pretty adamant about this now because I'm tired of people that pray and read their Bible, but there's still that 1/3. I watch how people fit in the body is how they're fitting in the Lord. Oh, it's just me and Jesus. What do you mean by that? You know, is it just you and Jesus? Oh, he's in the heavens. Oh, no, he's here too. And if you're fitting in the body, then dude, you're fitting in him. And so I did have a dream one time and I saw Jesus coming for me. And he was coming for me, and on his right or left, there were individuals. And so he's like talking to them and then looking at me. And talking to this one and looking at me. And I'm like, oh, here he comes. I wasn't sure what to do. Here he comes. And he's got people on his right and his left. Can I talk to him? And they look at me. And I go, ha, ha, ha. Oh, man. Passed me right by. I'm like, rats. But as he passed me by, it was like a locomotive. It was the body. It was the body of believers moving like a train. And I'm like, what's happening? What's happening? And then I finally figured it out. Oh, if I just find out the rhythm, the cadence, and what they're doing and match it, boom, it sucked me in and I was gone. You're his body. And when he ascended the first time, guess what he took? A body. Amen. So it's about finding our way together to fit together. By faith. Yeah. And again, so I'm just throwing this here and Pastor can clean it up afterwards. So just listen to these scriptures. Okay, so John 1:3 says, don't turn there. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship's with the Father. See, our fellowship is not just with the great unseen one, it's with each other. 1/3 of your answers is going to come through the body. I like what Pastor Mark Hankins says. I turn it now. Some assembly required. God told him he was searching for an answer, and the Lord told him, he said, well, I could tell you that through your Bible study or prayer, but I'm going to send it through the body, and you're going to have to connect with whoever it's coming through.
That's good. Yeah.
Is that amazing? Yeah. Don't look glum. I'll tell you how to do it. 1 John 1:6, don't turn there. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. See, it's all fellowship with each other and with him. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light like he is in the light, then we'll have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us. Fellowship with him and fellowship with each other. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Now, like this, it says here, koinonia, or this word fellowship or communion, is a unity that's brought by the Holy Spirit. See, because I was always so confused. Like, we're going to have a fellowship dinner. Okay. They always want you to bring food, right? Well, if my ability to be in unity or fellowship is based on what I can cook, I'm out. I tried to make a turkey one time. Do you know how many times I called 1-800-Butterball? A lot. And like, if I try to cook, my husband's like, did you read the recipe? Because it's just not good. So I know that a lot of fellowship is based around like cooking stuff, and that's good too. But fellowship, true unity, is brought about by the Holy Spirit. And all we have to do is walk in faith when we get around the other believers and ask God how to connect. And then he will manifest unity. You don't even have to like people to be in unity with them. They can have bad breath and not bathe a lot. But if you look for God in them, and God will, Jesus, by the Holy Ghost, will hook you with them. You'll be unified. You'll get an answer out of someone that's not bathing. Praise the Lord. Maybe they'll get an answer to bathe. Enlighten his eyes, Lord. Okay, so it says here, koinonia cements the believers to Jesus and to each other. It's brought about by the Holy Ghost. So in the most simple way to say this, well, let me give you these other scriptures too here. I have this scripture. It says here that koinonia and fellowship are the same word, communion and fellowship. So you can eat your bread and drink your juice, but when you get around other believers and you really believe God to connect with them by the Holy Ghost, that is real communion. And it says here, 1 Corinthians 10:16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? So that's the word communion there, the blood and the wine. But then that's the same word that's used in, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? It's the same word. And it says, and these continued in breaking of bread, fellowship, and prayer. So the most simple thing I have, I wrote this down too. Fellowship is not just social, it's spiritual. Fellowship by faith becomes unity in the spirit. Fellowship doesn't emanate from your feelings, it is created by faith. You didn't even have to like someone to fellowship. Just tap by faith on the Holy Ghost to help and let him connect you. You have to, by faith, find out how you fit. One more set of scriptures here. Colossians 2:19, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body nourished and knit together. Let me tell you this. Anytime I'm going to be around any Christian, I never approach Christians by my own ability. I say, Father, I'm getting ready to go hang out with Christians. So I'm asking that you would give me favor. I'm asking that you would give me utterance or unction to know what to say. And oh, Holy Ghost, teach me how to fellowship. That's good. I tap on that before I ever meet with any Christians anywhere. Because where two or three are gathered, there he is in the midst. Amen. And when you come together, each of you has a psalm, a hymn, a tongue, a revelation. And if you approach it like that, oh my goodness. You know, it used to be in charismatic circles, they would have a big Holy Spirit chair. They'd go, this is the chair for the Holy Spirit. And I'd be like, that's really scary. You know, the Holy Spirit chair. But you know, I always pray for favor and unction. Help me, Holy Ghost, to fellowship. And then I look for God in those people. Yeah. Here, Holy Ghost, sit on my head and lead and guide me. Hallelujah. Teach me how to fit in with these people. Get good at fitting in. There's my scripture. It says here, number three, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body gets nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that's from God. Knit together. If you were a string of yarn and you got knit together, brother, you'd be going up and down and all through the needles and all of the knife it. And I'm just a piece of fabric. You know? Got to be pliable. Got to be bendy. See, each and one of us individually are bones. Remember the Ezekiel and the dry bones? He's like, Lord, what are all these bones? He goes, these are the house of Israel. And then in Ephesians 4, the word for the minister there, ministry gifts, is one who's like setting a bone in place. So we're all bones. Woohoo! Strong in our call, believe in God. But then we got to get put together. And the way you get put together is you got to be bendy. You got to be flexible. You got to defer. And how do you do that? You say, Holy Ghost, help me right now as I get together with these people. And let the Holy Ghost knit you together. The art of fitting in, hallelujah, flips the Lord's switch. He loves that. Amen. And so this other scripture is amazing. I was talking with my husband. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. You can put this one up. It says, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. According to the effectual working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And there's, you've got these every part and it's effectual, but my husband looked over and says, yeah, but it says it's the joint that makes the supply available. It's when it's joined. Amen. And so this is an answer for all of us. And nobody has arrived. We all have to believe God how to do this. Because in doing this, answers will come to us. Amen. And it's an art. Hallelujah. And the Lord will be like, oh, they're fitting in my body real good. They're fitting in my body real good. And when his body wants to go somewhere to a nation, you'll be right in step. Amen. When his body wants to reach out to some part of the harvest, you'll be right there where you're supposed to be. Amen. He'll train you within his body. It's like a rock tumbler or being fitted together. That's why he might have been a carpenter. I don't know. But I watched this one show called The Yankee Workshop, you know, and this guy's in there and he's building a rocking chair with no nails. I'm like, just get one from Walmart, you fool. And so he's in there and he's doing all this stuff. And then he goes, now what you do is you take this part and you stick it in here. And my brother-in-law, the guy goes, he goes, you take this part and kind of work it in there. And my brother-in-law piped up, he goes, well, he says that right there. That means you have to jiggle it and saw it and file it and keep pushing off for about a week before it fits. That's us, all of us. A lot of raw material. But is it fitted together yet? Can he fit it together? Will you let him fit you together? And so the best way I could, and because the joints and ligaments are what makes that power available. So I had some examples here, so be merciful to me again. So powerful. Before you come to church, please bathe, brush your teeth, comb your hair, hallelujah, drink some coffee so you got the victory. And then, brother, you're driving up, I'd pray for unction for your pastor, but then I would say, Lord, I'm getting ready to go into church and be around Christians. Oh, I want to approach his body in faith. There's no telling what God could give me today or what I could give someone else. Oh, I'm going to practice fitting in today. By the hand of the Lord. And the hand of the Lord is powerful, isn't it? You want the hand of the Lord on you. Amen. And so you just say real quick, Father, as I get around these Christians, grant to me favor, grant to me unction, and help me to fellowship today, Holy Ghost. When you do that, that's a little increment of faith, and the Holy Ghost goes, ha, 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 here we go. And then he will prompt you and say things to you. He will cause you to be bolder or pull you back if you're Sister Bucket Mouth like me. Hallelujah. I got here, so I'm picking and choosing. Sometimes we stay in hotels, you know, and I got to plug in my laptop and my phone. And so they'll have the outlet behind the headboard. And then, so I'm like, oh, there it is. And so I become like Cirque du Soleil actor. I'm like, And I'm leaning around, pull the headboard back. There's a finger back there. I don't know what's going on. And then because it's a three-prong outlet, boy, you just got to get it just right. And so I start complaining. These stupid outlets, why they put these like, why can't they? And Lonnie's like, submit to the outlet, Dana. It's always about the submit word. I can make all these adjustments to make the connection, but brother, once I do, woohoo, I'm hooked to the World Wide Web. My phone comes alive. I can look up skateboarding videos. Praise him. That's what we do. We make adjustments. We're bendy. And oh, but when we connect, wow, the power's there. Amen. And so just by that little prayer, though, a little prayer. Now, see, we go out to eat with Amanda, and Amanda will be like, Lord, bless the food and bless the hands that made it. So I just see all those cooks, all their hands getting bigger all of a sudden, you know. I'm like, it's kind of a weird prayer. I don't know how that really, anyway. So try and give you some examples here real quick, though. So I had a friend. Well, I saw her at Rhema Bible Church before, and I thought, you know, oh, she's on the inside, you know. She's on the inner ring of the people at Rhema. And I'm just on the outside looking in. See, I was in the prayer group program, but I never did what the head of the prayer group program said. She said, be involved in the prayer group program, but also, you prayers, come out of the prayer room and get involved in the church somewhere in the natural. In doing so, it'll balance you out. And it'll have two hands on the plow, prayer and the natural, and you'll really go forward. Because if you're a good prayer, you'll fit well within the local body. But if you're being goofy, amen. And so with her, I thought, oh, this is my friend, Miss Nicole. Oh, she's on the inside of Rhema Bible Church. And I never really got involved in Rhema Bible Church the way I should have. I was in the prayer group, and then Dan Morrison asked me to be in the choir, but I was like, no, that's too natural. Because I thought I was so spiritual. Just me and Jesus, and I'll pray. And all you other can do your social stuff. But I'm the real deal. So I never joined the choir, you know. And I think I really missed out on a lot there, just being in the prayer group, you know. So then I got married. And then Miss Nicole, her husband, Joe, was Lonnie's best man. And all of a sudden, here's Nicole at my wedding. Hi, Schraders. You're a Schrader now. I'm like, who are you? I don't even know you. And you're yelling in my face, I'm a Schrader. Plus, I'd seen her at Rhema Bible Church, and I thought, she's just, you know, she's in the inner circle and whatever, socialite, whatever. So we go visit them because, you know, Joe was Lonnie's best man, one of his best friends. And so we go there, and the Lord says, I want you to be friends with her. And I'm like, what? And, you know, first of all, I thought she was on the inside, whatever. And, you know, and then also, too, you know, she's so different from me. Their house was the house where all the families come to, you know. And they always have just thousands of people in their home. And they'll be like, Dana, tomorrow we're going to have 20 people over for brisket. I'm like, what? I'd have to pray for that and, you know, tithe to Martha Stewart before I could ever do that. You know. So instead of going, are you crazy? I'd be like, okay. And even though she was so different than me, I just kept making adjustments because the Lord said, be friends with her. Don't pick at certain points that you disagree with. You know, just work on fitting in with her. Why? Because I said so. Thanks. So at that time, I was starting to go to Kindle the Flame, Miss Hagen's meetings. And I would only go on Friday nights just to hear Patsy Caminetti. Because, you know, she looks so cool, and she's the coolest, and I like her the best. I'm only going on Friday night, not going any other night, like when Miss Hagen speaks or anything else. Because, you know, Miss Hagen's got those oval red nails, and, you know, nah, just Friday night. So then Nicole goes, why don't you go to the other nights at Kindle the Flame? I'm like, I don't know. But God told me to be friends with her. Oh, I guess I will. So I started going. when I would go to Kindle the Flame, which I highly recommend, I would go on Thursday nights. And here comes Miss Hagen with her red nails, you know, and her Texas accent. And then one night she goes, God showed me that I'm supposed to raise up an army of women of balance, of word and spirit, who would be an example of a Christian, of a wife, and of a mother, and where husbands and wives would walk equally, not one pulling the other, but equally in God's glory. And it was like, wow, boy, it's branded. And so, you know, I'm still hanging around Nicole. And then she goes, why don't you ever go to the day services? Because there's other speakers there. Oh, because, you know, I don't know who those other women are. I just go see her, Patsy, and now Miss Lynette, you know. Because I'm, you know, all that. But God said, be friends with her. So I'm start going to the day services now. And I don't even know who half these women are. They get up and boom, word of knowledge. Boom, read my mail. Boom, show a strength in the word and the spirit that, you know, you just don't see very often. I'm like, wow, this is awesome. And then she goes, why don't you go to the luncheon? Oh, because, you know, I don't like those styrofoam plates. You know, we'll just go. But now the whole time I'm going, I'm like, oh, God, give me unction. Give me favor. And help me fellowship, because I'm kind of scared of all these people. Because, you know, the devil lies to you about church. See, they've got their all thing together, but you don't. Oh, look at them. See, no, you know, it's just you and Jesus. You're fine. They lied to me. And so I started going to the luncheons too, but I'm still praying my prayer. Oh, coat myself with that prayer. I ask you for favor and unction, Father, and I ask that you would help me to fellowship. Oh, and I'd be sitting there and just eating my little salad on the styrofoam plate. And all of a sudden, people start talking about stuff and give me answers that I was looking for and let me sit next to missionaries that are not all presumptuous. Oh, we're doing a work for God. No, they're just, hey, we love Jesus. Hey, we're doing the outreach. Awesome. And then I would just fellowship. And their obedience would provoke me. And then they would say things that were answers for me. And then that led me to other connections. I got Vidar and Catherine. Do you know Vidar and Catherine? Lagarde? He looks like a vampire. Do you know him? My name is Vidar. Oh, good. Just go overseas. Don't get under my neck. He's Scandinavian, whatnot, you know. He's like, good evening. Yeah, right. Vidar, don't tell him I said that. I'm telling everyone he's a vampire. I got to meet them. The most, you know, easygoing people that are just doing apostolic work after apostolic work, yet they'll sit there and just laugh with you at the dinner table. You know, just deconstructing my idea of effectual ministry, amen, and connecting me to them. Then Miss Catherine, you know, I'm walking with her from one building to the fellowship hall, and she goes, Dana, you should just go start that church. Are you silly? You're so silly. Start the church. And I'm like, went boom right into me. Just her saying that, flipping her hair like that. Because see, the Holy Ghost, I'm approaching the body by faith. And now he's like, oh, I can connect her and I can confirm things to her and impart things to her. And so I got to meet all these people. And then what's even more unusual is that they started to see me too. They started to see something in me. And Miss Nicole would be like, we're going to have a prayer meeting Thursday night. Do you want to lead it? And I'm like, what? And then they wanted me to do School of the Bible. What? And they started to see something in me. And this is what it's like. It's like electric. The body is the fullness of him that starts filling all in and through all. And when you believe God to connect, your little light goes on. And all of a sudden people see you. And all of a sudden they can identify that grace. And they go towards the light. And they start to come towards you. And what's even cooler is you start to see it. Ah, I didn't know it was in there. Yeah. That's one thing about Patsy Kamenei I always loved, is that no matter who she was standing in front, she'd look and try and find God in you. You know, she'd be like, oh, she just believed the best. She's sitting there at Brother Hagin's right hand. But she'd be like, oh, she always gets so low underneath and try to find God in you, whoever you were. I remember we were at prayer school, and this one guy's just bouncing around like a jumping bean all the time. And I'm like, oh, that guy's so carnal. Oh, my God. He's so weird. What a weirdo. Because he goes, I'm so spiritual. Praise him. And so then, you know, one, and he's jumping around. He's being real loud in prayer school all the time. And I'm like, that's just terrible. He's in the flesh like that, you know, judging. Judge Judy. I'm Judge Judy. And and so then one day, Patsy hauled on. She goes, the Lord's been speaking to me about you. Talk to that weird guy. You better be careful who you marry because you have a call of God in your life. I'm like, oh, man, I'm stupid. See, all you got to do is when you come to church, don't ever come without putting on that new man prayer.
That's good.
Come in and say, God, I'm getting ready to go into church. I ask you to grant to me utterance, favor, and teach me to fellowship. And so what happened was then, now it was like, it's like circuitry. When it all gets connected, the lights go on. And then we can see who and what you are. Amen. And then people won't run away from you like a dark darkness, a runway from the darkness. Your light will go on. Yeah. Then people can identify you. Yes. Amen. Yes. And then you make your supply available.
Yes.
You know, and like with Miss Nicole now, I love her so much. She's so amazing. I'm so thankful for Miss Nicole. She's helped me so much. And she's so precious to me. I adjusted and connected and boom, then it came back and hit me. And I'm like, thank you, God. Oh my goodness. And I don't work at it at all. You know, we're just there together. Then there's another friend like Pastor Judy. Pastor Judy's like slippers, although I'm not a slipper person. I don't understand shoes and coats to go to bed, but anyway, that's my own personal view. So Pastor Judy, you know, I met her years and years ago, but when I was still single. And she supports us monthly, and I don't know if she robs banks or prints her own money. I don't know where she gets money to support us like she does. She's my best friend other than my husband. But Pastor Judy, I never really had to work at it, you know? It's just like slippers. Ooh, oh, wow. Just fits. All you want to hold on to those relationships. And if they go dipwad, you have to find out what to do with it. And if God's like, oh, no, it's still supposed to be there, then you got to fix it. You got to believe God to fix it. Hold on. You're accountable for those connections because, my Lord, it's a supplement for you. So it's cool. Like, you know, so I have Miss Amanda as my friend, you know, and then I've got my husband. And so sometimes I'll be reading my Bible. Pretty good, but still something else I need there. Where is it? And then I'll pray. Oh, maybe that answer, I need that, whatever. Praying, that's good, but still something else there. So then I go to my husband. What do you think about this? I'm getting the I'm like a pterodactyl. Tell me what you think about this. Put pressure on him. He's like, I don't know, Dean. I don't know. I'm trying to eat some Fritos here. I really don't know what you're looking for right there. Tell me! Trying to pull on him. I mean, don't make a mistake. We have amazing fellowship. That's how we got married. We fellowship, talk about the Lord, you know. Oh, God, give me favor, utterance. Help me to fellowship. Oh, and the Holy Ghost come sit in the car with us. And we talk about the Lord. And it'd get richer and richer and richer. And he'd say something. I go, that's really good. And I'd tell him, that's really good. Oh, we just fellowship, work out scriptures together, get answers together, laugh hysterically together. And then he went and dated some stupid girl. You know, and she's all tiny and whatnot. So I'm like, fine, see you later. Because the Lord told me, have more faith in me than you do Domino's pizza. I deliver, it's on time and still hot, whoever it is. Some Sagamo up top. So I'm like, fine. I just set my gaze another way. I go, I'll get me a young one. Woohoo! Cougar Town. And I'll train up a child in the way he should go. And then, well, the older one, the men always do it, you know what I'm saying? And, Doc Horton told Cooper Beatty, Coop, I'd get the youngest one that'd take you. Woohoo! So I set my sights on someone younger, you know, I'm gonna give you a young one here and a rich one. Let's do that too. So then I'm doing my marriage scriptures, and the Lord's like, he's going to come back. I'm like, oh, no, nah. And he's calling me, well, he's dating that little trollop, and he would want to talk the word. I'm like, oh, no, he's it's so not happening here. But you know what? He'd call, and we'd fellowship. Oh, that rich fellowship. Intimacy, amen, in the Lord. And the Holy Ghost would show up all the time and go, ha, ha. Amen?
Amen?
We got married, amen. And I fellowship with him, oh, it's so rich. Amen, to be able to talk the scriptures. But so I'm like that. I'm looking for this one piece of fellowship because I fellowship with him so richly, you know. But it wasn't there. And then I called Pastor Judy. We started talking. Oh, here comes that flow of grace right there. And oh, back and forth, we worked scriptures and answer and laughing hilariously, you know. And then all of a sudden, I got my answer. And I thought, you know, it's so weird. It really is the work of the Holy Ghost. Because you can't counterfeit that grace. Even if I wanted to get that answer from him, I couldn't have. I had to reach for Pastor Judy. Your place is secure. Amen? And your place is wonderful and so special and so precious. And we have to see what's in you. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, we do. You're the body. Yes. You're him.
Amen. That's good.
Oh, my goodness. We have to esteem the body every time you get around each other. Getting here near the end here. There's places we go to fellowship like this place because they are moving at a place in the Word and the Spirit and on every level that we want to practice with them when we get here. Oh, I gotta get ready for those meetings because it's gonna be like playing tennis with you know Serena. You know what I mean? I gotta get in shape. I gotta make sure I'm walking in faith in my personal life. I got to make sure my giving's up. I got to make sure I'm confessing the word. I got to make sure I'm doing the word because when I get around them, if I want to run with them, hallelujah, I better be in shape. Places like here in Raymond, Brother Moore's, those kind of fellowships, hallelujah. All kinds of things to fellowship. Hallelujah. We've got all kinds of examples here. Also, esteeming anyone and everyone that's born again. Because like a little chopstick here, Bootsy Toot, her, what's her name?
Lauren.
Am I saying it right?
Yeah. Lauren.
Lauren. So like last time I was here, she walked up to me at the saturation meeting and she goes, are we going to pray in tongues? And I went, oh, she's like, you know, little Hitler. I'm like, I don't know. Because we've never procreated, you know, and children, you know, they're small. And if you give them weapons, they have really good angles. And so it's solely the Lord that I even, you know, get around kids, you know. He said, you'll teach the children prayer because it'll provoke the adults as to how easy it is to hear from God. And so so she comes up and I'm like, well, it might be a small piece of the body, but it's still a piece. So she goes, are we going to pray in tongues? And I go, yes, we will. I didn't even ask the pastor. It wasn't my service. Or yes. Pastor, I'll wrap it up. But then afterwards, she started praying in tongues. A bunch of kids started praying in tongues. And then she's up. She goes, I need to run. And I go, then run, girl, run. She goes, I need to run. I go, then run. She, boom, took off. And so I remembered that when I was writing Tony Talks in Tongues, I got a whole page on laughing by faith. And so I remembered that, and I said, dude, you want to run? Then run! Hallelujah.
Amen.
I preached that book at the Brazies, and they said they had the strongest move of laughter in the children's ministry they've ever had. Because of her on that page. Oh, I don't care who comes in front of me. It's my Lord's body. And it's precious to me. And the only way I can rightly approach it or access it or esteem it or connect with it is to say, oh, God, give me favor and give me unction and help me to fellowship. Teach me. You understand we're all learning what fellowship is, right?
Yeah.
We're all learning. I go to a table to eat, and I'm like, blah, blah, blah. I'm funny. I got an outgoing personality. Blah, blah, blah. And the Lord's like, hey, Dana, maybe you could pull it back a little bit. But all the other little people are sitting there. We don't have any stories to tell. You're so funny. We're nothing. Make it pull it back. Ego Edna, you know. And then you have these other people. Well, I'm just shy. Are you proud of that? You know, I'm demure. No, you're a black hole is what you are. And when we all get together to talk, well, I just don't have anything to say. Well, is that what the Lord told you? Okay. Oh, look, it's awkward silence from all the silent people. No, 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 fellowship has nothing to do with your personality. Well, I'm just more social. What? No, it's fellowship.
Come on, that's good.
So you sit at the table, and he'll make the big blah, 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 shut up. And then he'll make the black hole. Well, actually, the Lord showed me, blah, 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 and start talking. And then you learn how to flow together by faith. And then your personality gets chiseled off. And then God's like, oh, I can fit her in even better now. Yes. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Glory. And also there's joy. There's just joy when the saints are together in fellowship. Have you ever laughed with another believer? It's so funny. Hallelujah. We were at the women's meeting, and we were playing a game. It's called Heads Up. And you put this on your forehead like this, and it gives you a topic. And then the people around you are supposed to give you clues. And so I put it up there at the women's retreat or whatever that thing was. And I put it up there, and it said the Lord's Prayer. And all those women were so excited that they all went, Our Father who art in heaven! And all the people in the pool, whoop, we're getting out of here. Our Father who art in heaven! Are you witnessing that? And so then the word was gummy bear. And so all these people start saying all this different stuff. But I kept looking at Miss Jessie because she's so weird. And she goes like this. She sees the word gummy bear, and this is her clue for me. So I'm like, rat milking a cow's teats? And then we all started laughing. But we started laughing so hard that the gums started showing. Ah! And whenever I see gums, when the saints come together, I'm so happy. Because this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. It's only in the sweetness of the brethren. You can be going through the most horrible thing, but you get around your brethren and you're believing for unction and favor. And oh, Jesus, teach me how to fellowship. And answers will come. And then laughter will come. That strength will come. Hallelujah. And seal you together even more.
Hallelujah.
Not by a duty, but by the Holy Ghost that will cement us together and make us one. We don't have to figure it out. We just say, Father, when I get near the Christians, anytime, give me favor, give me unction, and teach me the fellowship. I'll give you one more scripture and shut her down. Hallelujah. That is Psalms 22. Hallelujah. You know, this is so good when you practice in the church like this, being led by the Holy Ghost, how to be built together. Then when you go out, Jesus said, I'll build my church. When you go out, he knows when there's raw material in front of you. And he will show you how to cut down that tree. He'll show you how to bring in that one. Amen? You keep praying this prayer, that little prayer over and over again. You can just tap on it. Anytime you're getting ready to be near Christians. I was watching TV one night, and this horrible movie called Sanctum came on. And it was about these people that like to go in the ocean, which I don't like to go in the ocean. It's like a big old toilet to me, you know, and fish have their babies in there, people pee in there and poop, and they go, well, there's salt. And I go, you know what? If I'm in the ocean, a big old salty turd comes up next to me, it's so gross, and it's a salty turd. Don't even start on hot tubs. It's like a crock pot. You turn on that crock pot and you got a piece of meat and a tomato, after an hour, the juices get in each other. Just a few thoughts to terrify your dreams. So anyway, I look at the ocean. We live in California. I'm like, I get it. Man, wave, wave, wave. I'm good. I'm going to go have a latte. And so, but these people in this movie, they're crazy. They go under the ocean and go into caves and deep sea diving caves. And I'm like, you're so weird. And so I'm like, that's the weirdest movie ever. Next day, we went to go hang out with some people. And they were believing God for one of their relatives to come back to the Lord. And so we're sitting there talking. And that guy was already a little edgy, you know. I think he thought he was going to be preached to. You know, and so we're just like, oh no, we're just eating dinner, it's great, free food, we're good, you know. They wanted us to kind of deal with their relative there. We're not dealing with him unless the Lord helps us, you know. And so so I'm like sitting there and I go, oh, I saw this weird movie the other day. It's called Sanctum, and it's about these deep sea divers who go into caves. He goes, I do that. And I'm like, what? You do that? Yes. And it opened up a whole channel for me to be able to talk to him. If you do this enough, pray for favor, pray for unction, pray to be able to fellowship, then when you get around a person, God will already be preparing you to open up vistas to win the lost or cause you to come in closer with other people. If you keep praying it, amen. Here's this, I'll close with this. I always wondered, you know, it says, you know, I showed you that we're an example of each of us are bones together. And it's interesting to me that Jesus on the cross, he was marred. It said more than anyone, you know, his visage was so marred. And he paid such a great price. Yet there is a prophecy that says none of his bones would be broken. I'm like, I don't get it. You know, I would think the bones would be broken, pay the price, you know, broken Christians, whatever, preaches real good. You know, even when they came up to the cross, they were going to break his legs, you know, but he was already dead. So all I can figure is that, you know, it was a prophecy to be fulfilled, something else to validate that that was the Messiah on the cross, you know. And also I like it that they didn't have to break his legs because he gave up his life. Amen. Nobody took it from him. Amen. But so this Psalms 22 is what was happening on the cross. Psalms 22 and verse 11 says here, be not far from me. So this is what he was thinking. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. He paid a price on the cross for us to come together again. He paid a price for the bones to be put back into place. He paid a price for us to be able to come together just by faith, hallelujah, and trust him to connect us, amen. He paid a price on the cross. All the bones were out of place so that then eventually by faith, the church could rise up and be the second Eve, be the bride. How it even says about Eve, she was built. When God brought her to Adam, she was a bone that was taken out and built and brought to him. We're the second Eve. We're the bride of Christ. And it's as simple as what's in your heart and in your mouth to believe, oh God, when I'm around my brothers and sisters, please give me unction. Please give me favor. Please help me fellowship and learn to go into joint and be connected vitally with where I'm supposed to be. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Stand to your feet, please. Now, you don't have to pray this, but I recommend that you do. I just want to pray a prayer of consecration to do this. You'll be surprised how much the Holy Ghost will talk to you when you're around your brethren. Amen. Hallelujah. Just go ahead and lift your hands. Hallelujah. And say, Father, we magnify you. We thank you for Jesus. Oh, my Father, teach me how to fellowship.
Teach me
to connect with my brothers and sisters.
Help me
to follow you
through fellowship,
to be connected.
Hallelujah.
Help me.
Help me
every time
to be led by you.
I purpose
not to know
my brothers and sisters
after the flesh,
I purpose to look for you.
I purpose to look for you.
In them.
In them.
And me too.
And me too.
Now give him a shout. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. I'm going to turn it back over to, of course, the pastor. You know that John 17 that Jesus said? He said, he lifted up his eyes, the last great prayer. And he said, now God, Father, glorify me with the Father which I had even before the world was. This is a key to that glory, that eternal glory, that spirit suit that we're going to get. Amen. And he said, I pray that they be one. How? Yes. By me finding him in you. And you finding him in me. And in that way, we're unified in him.
That's, so good. Yes.
That's the unity he's talking about. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. One more time. Give him a shout. Glory. Teach us, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen.